And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Country and Western music here, the real American stuff. To chase away all the hipsters, all the hucksters. Publishers Weekly, top hardcover nonfiction, week one, no Amazon, Stop the Coming Civil War, Michael Savage. Wall Street Journal, Stop the Coming Civil War by Michael Savage, number six. And so with your help and zero publicity on Fox News, because they have their own authors to push and to peddle, we made it into the major lists. And remember, I had no Amazon. I got to tell you something. Amazon is in a fight with Hachette, my publisher, and so my book wasn't on Amazon. If it was, the book would have been number one and number two. It still might get there if you go out this weekend and check it out. Trust me. For this book to make it so far, so fast, with very little publicity other than this show, indicates that this book has caught a wave. And I want to thank you for the book I'm most proud of, Stop the Coming Civil War. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, I was joking, and I said on the Ebola, I said they don't know Ebola from Shinola. And I urged Obama and the CDC chief to emulate African nations and restrict travel. And so naturally today, all the other hosts, since they're following me on the dog sled, repeated what I said today, which is good. As Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter who gets credit for what you do or say, as long as what you do or say gets done. And I hope what I say and do gets done, because it's long overdue to understand that for a week I've been saying this. Are you listening to me? Is there anyone out there who's alive and listening? I said this last week. I said the surrounding African nations, around the Ebola-stricken nations, have slammed the door shut and created a travel ban. I said, what does this tell us? It tells us that third world African dictatorships have leadership that's smarter than Obama or less corrupt. That's what I say. And how do I prove that? Well, it's simple. Take a look at who they appointed as the Ebola czar today. He knows nothing about medicine, nothing about science. He's nothing but a bagman for Al Gore and Joe Biden. He's a lifetime backroom wheeler dealer. They stepped over a woman who has all the training necessary in health and medicine, who's actually in a position to run the Office of Emergency Preparedness in the HHS, and they stepped over to put a grifter in there, in my opinion, Ron Klain, Chief of Staff to Vice President Joe Gaffer Biden. He's the point man on fighting Ebola in West Africa. I guess there's an awful lot of money that's going to be made on it. And by the way, Klain was the man involved with Solyndra, incidentally. If you don't think there's going to be billions made on this, then you know nothing about how corrupt this administration is. It is the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States of America. And the only reason they get away with it is because of you. I blame you, the American people, for having put him in office. Now you're saying, well, I didn't vote for him. Good for you, but your wife did. Your mother-in-law did. Your distant relatives did. I mean, what can I tell you? So you have a job to do. You better expose them for what they are before it is too late. Take a look at the man they put in charge here. No training whatsoever. A grifter, a bagman, a lawyer. A lawyer, another lawyer. A lawyer to be the czar. And they stepped over a woman who was trained for this. Could you believe this? Do you know who this guy is? Don't even bother. Take a guess. Just look up Solyndra. You'll see the name, the same name, Klain. Is it Klain's? Klain Mutiny Court? Klain, oh, no, it's like Citizen Klain. So everyone's talking about Peggy Noonan's article. I have no idea why. Peggy Noonan worked for Ronald Reagan, and she's a classy lady, and she writes these dignified, middle-of-the-road Republican columns that are so outraged at everything that is mean out there. She's the kind of girl that wears white gloves to bed. She's the kind of girl in a pleat skirt that went to private school that your mama would have liked you to date, but she'd have nothing to do with you. But she writes these brilliant center-of-the-road, middle-of-the-road columns, and we all love her to death. But they have no impact whatsoever. But even she's got her pleats in a bunch because Obama is condescending to us on Ebola. Thanks, Peggy. That's very exciting. That's just what we need now, is more politeness with the worst gang in the history. Yeah, okay, got it. I'm going to cut back on the rhetoric. It's enough already. Bermuda was hit with 43-foot waves. That's, of course, a direct result of global warming. There's never been another hurricane that ever hit Bermuda, ever, in history. It's only now as a result of Al Gorleone that the hurricane was this strong. And the 43-foot waves hit, and oh, my God, and what are we going to do about that? Did you know that Obama's credit card was denied at a restaurant? That's a funny story in its own way when you think about it. I mean, would you take a credit card from this man? Obama's credit card denied at restaurant in New York City. His card was rejected. We went to pay for his meal at a New York restaurant during the UN General Assembly gathering early this month. Apparently, they thought there was some fraud going on, Mr. Obama joked. Hello? Yeah, well, there's fraud going on the federal level, so why not with your credit card? You know, I'm surprised he even gave it under his own name. Why didn't he give it under, let's say, another name? Like in the Sopranos, when Tony Soprano checked into the Plaza Hotel, he was Mr. Smith. He had a stolen credit card, right? They don't use their real name. They get a card made up. They steal it from Mr. Smith. One of the guys knocks it off on a machine in New Jersey. So why couldn't he have come up with a card? Hi, my name is Barry O'Reilly, and I'd like to buy a sandwich. He could have used a fraudulent credit card. He gives them out to everyone on welfare anyway with the telephones. J.P. Morgan officials and clients say whether the president's credit card was affected. How about the national credit card? If you care to join the show number is 855-407-282. I could ask you a stupid question to get you engaged, which is, how do you feel the feds are handling the Ebola outbreak? Do you think they're doing enough? Of course not. What are they doing? They're seeing if they can cash in on it. What do you think they're doing? So yesterday my show was on They Don't Know Ebola from Shinola, and my friends at WorldNet Daily picked up on it. And there's a picture of Dr. Thomas Frieden. You know who he is, don't you? The double talker. Center for the soda control. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Martin Dempsey, who I said I have no respect for, and I'll tell you why. And so-called Human Services Secretary is Sylvia Burwell. Never heard of her. Another one no one ever heard of. President Obama's executive order Thursday to send National Guard and Reserve units to Liberia to help contain the Ebola outbreak is another indicator that he and the official blah, blah, blah are in over-the-heads charge. Talk radio host Michael Savage. Listening to Obama, listening to Frieden, they don't know Ebola from Shinola, Savage told his listeners on Thursday. He said every day they change their tune. The military itself knows more about Ebola than they do. Savage noted that nearly every African government has restricted travel from the three West African nations where the Ebola outbreak originated. Savage quipped, I suspect that they're run by racists, those African nations. And I think King Lear Obama should send Eric Holder to Africa, as he has to Ferguson, Missouri, to investigate and see if he can bring the FBI against Gambia, Nigeria. He should investigate Togo, Gabon, the Ivory Coast, Senegal, Rwanda, Chad, South Sudan, Namibia, Angola, South Africa, Botswana, Congo, Lesotho, Equatorial Guinea, Kenya, and Madagascar, said Savage. There are many more on the list of African nations that have banned travel into the Ebola-stricken countries of Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. So you see what I'm doing here. It was a joke, of course. They picked up on it. Savage recently charged Ebola has entered the U.S. because of Obama's open borders policy. And I went on. And then I said I have no respect for General Dempsey, who I think is speaking out because he cares about his troops. Obama cares about nothing except himself, so he continues to go on and on about things of which he knows nothing. Savage, referring to Frieden, said the president is being advised by someone who doesn't know the difference between Ebola and Shinola. All right, I made that point. I think it's funny, except most people don't know what Shinola is. It used to be a product in the 60s, I think, for shoes. And there was a phrase which I can't use on a family show where he doesn't know X from Shinola, right? So I changed it from Ebola to Shinola. Now, I woke up this morning laughing about it all because I'm the kind of guy who has a gallows sense of humor. And we're living in a time where coffins are everywhere in our brain, jangling around, banging into each other. This administration is so corrupt and incompetent that we all see coffins banging around inside our brains. So I got up this morning and had some fun, and I said, guys, let's do something on Ebola. Do we have that, Robert, the little Ebola stuff? Just entertain them with what I cut this morning. Tell me
Shinola
what you have. Like, raise your left hand. I can see you on Skype.
Shine.
Wait, stop. We have it. I didn't know. Tell you what, he's going to have his new signaling system on Skype. When you're ready to go, lift the hand. Play it now.
Shinola, for that perfect shine. Shinola, for that old shoe shine. Shinola, it's the one you need, and you need it every time. Shinola! Shinola, take two. Three, two, one. Shinola, for that perfect shine. Shinola, you need it every time. Shinola, you need it each and every time. Shinola.
Not, I did it to entertain myself, so I figured I would let you, you know, look in on it. But, you know, it's gotten worse. So after seeing that, I see that he put a grifter lawyer, bagman, in as the Ebola czar. It's unbelievable to me. He's an advisor to Obama, Ron Klain, chief of staff to VP Joe Biden, the point man on the U.S. government's response to the Ebola crisis, a longtime bagman, I mean operative for the Dems, zero knowledge of disease, just a bagman. In fact, He was portrayed by Kevin Spacey in an HBO film as a total and absolute grifter. A longtime Democrat operative claimed, blah, 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 da, 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 da. Chief of staff of VP Gore. That's really a great credential. And a key figure in the 2000 Florida presidential election recount. It gets even better. The Ebola czar served under Attorney General Janet Sterno in the Clinton administration. Remember Sterno? She's the one who burned 72 people alive, men, women, and children, in Waco. Remember those low-life people that she burned to the ground on trumped-up charges? He previously served under Janet Sterno, who was last seen escaping the White House in a pickup truck with AstroTurf in the tailgate. He's an Ebola response coordinator. Blah, oh, there must be big money in this. My God, I could just imagine what they're going to take in on this. This is amazing. Now, by the way, he is also was involved with the with Solyndra. Remember that? $500 million disappeared. You get the picture. You get the picture. Now, the Ebola czar, in other words, knows nothing about Ebola, but he's there to make certain that the money goes in the right places. You get the picture? One man's opinion. One man's opinion. I have no reason to say anything positive about him. How's that? So I'll say everything negative that I can possibly think of. Given that he worked for Biden and Gore, I won't be too far from the truth. What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? I need some rock and roll. What's the other song that was picked for me today by my song picker? People have guitar pickers. Some have guitar pickers, song pickers. And the president gave a speech today, not on Ebola, but on the economy and the middle class. You know, while you're looking for the other song we have, let's go to WABC. Tress, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. I went to a Barnes & Noble in Clark, New Jersey yesterday after work. And I decided before I would get, before I'd ask for help, that I'd look for the book myself. So I looked all over, saw a whole bunch of books by, you know, these other clowns. And those books were all over the place. And finally I had to ask because I didn't see it. I said, do you have Stop the Coming Civil War by Michael Savage? And then they said, oh, those sold out the first day. They're still on back order. Now, I'm thinking they should have had more by now because it's been...
Well, I got to tell you, I'm very, very upset. I told my publisher the very words you just said. It sold out the first day. You reordered four printings and they're still not back in the store. What kind of distribution system is this? You know, if I were running the publishing industry, it'd be run a lot more efficiently than this. So they're sitting blocked up in a warehouse. My listeners are going asking for the book once, twice, three times. That's the end of it. They're not going to go back four times.
Oh, yeah. And I listen to the show every day, so I knew that you said the book was in the fifth printing. So,
yep.
You know.
Well, I would have thought they were back in the stores, but no, they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere. I think they'll release them just in time to miss the election, Tress. Something tells me, just as Amazon... boycotted my book and all the other Hachette books, which is why the sales were number 5 and 6 instead of 1 and 2. I think that they're going to make certain the book doesn't get into the stores till after the election, just in time to see the Banana Republic remain a Banana Republic. Thanks for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
It was blaring in the background, and the character was drinking cold beer, sitting alone, depressed at a bar, in a gentleman's club, or a gentleman's club, like a low-life club. Here we are in the Savage Nation, living through, really, the best of times and the worst of times. As Dickens wrote it, I mean, it is the best of times and the worst of times, in a sense... that we still have our freedom, sort of. We can still more or less go around without weapons in our pockets, sort of. That's the mark of a civilized society, sort of. We can still buy food in the grocery store. There's still water coming out of the tap. The electricity goes on and off in Marin County whenever the PG&E decides to run electricity. It's like Poland here now. And they want to turn off Comcast or electricity. They do. I feel like I'm living in Eastern Europe in the 1950s over here north of San Francisco. But it's the best of times and the worst of times. If only the clown in the White House would be fired and the entire administration changed tomorrow. In other words, if we lived in a participatory democracy and there was a vote held next week, they'd be voted out in a landslide because the people have had enough. They'd be voted a vote of no confidence in there and they're done. They're finished. We live in a dictatorship. No matter what he does, he's got a payday. No matter what he does to us, payday. No matter what he mishandles, payday. That's why yesterday I did a show calling him King Lear.
How many of you really got the King Lear thing? Wasn't it too highbrow? Michigan, WJR. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. How are you?
What's on your mind? Fire away. Minute left.
Hey, we've got, I have a lot of friends of mine who are liberals, and when we have conversation, we'll talk about other talk show hosts, and they all laugh and make jokes of them. But when I bring up your name, there is no jokes. They go silent. So thank you.
Well, because I have a mind like a steel trap with a better education than everybody in the media put together. So therefore, what are they going to argue with me on the basis of facts? They'll lose. Quickness of mind, they'll lose. Memory, they'll lose. History, they'll lose. Context, they'll lose. Of course they're afraid of me.
Yes, they are. We appreciate what you do. I love your new...
Well, I'm doing what I have to do. You think I don't... you think I sleep well at night? You'd be mistaken if you did. I have my suspicions and fears. Thank you, Jeff. Here's the one thing to remember so far, and I shouldn't say this, but I've been thinking about it. You know, so far, and I say thank God, knock wood, we don't have political assassinations in this country, comma, yet, period. As banana republic as this man has turned this country into, where he's the czar, not the president. Actually, he's the resident of the United States of America, not the president. So far, we still don't have political assassinations. They're not yet knocking off journalists, as they're doing in South America or Central America or in parts of the world. No, not yet. We haven't seen that yet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
What remains true is that this is not an airborne disease. It is not easy to catch. You can only catch it through being in contact with the bodily fluids of an individual.
Okay, this is more the same rhetoric put out by the CDC. It is not necessarily true that this is not an airborne disease. And it may be easy to catch, Mr. Obama. You're listening to the same clowns who misadvised you on everything else with regard to health. Let me explain something. A U.S. Army manual on infectious diseases distributed to military and healthcare providers around the world warns of an airborne version of the Ebola virus. You may not have seen this, and I'll quote it now. The Army manual says this, quote, in several instances, secondary infections among contacts and medical personnel without direct body fluid exposure have been documented of viral hemorrhagic fever, a category which includes Ebola. Quote, these instances have prompted concern of a rare phenomenon of aerosol transmission of infection. So you say it's a rare one? Yes, that doesn't mean it can't be airborne. I mean, the president could have said it's generally not airborne, but it's not definitively not airborne. In fact, 25 years ago, scientists demonstrated in lab testing that the Ebola virus could pass from one monkey to another through the air. So many experts say the possibility of the virus becoming airborne is very real. It doesn't mean it's not possible. It is possible, and it may, in fact, be happening. WMAL, Matthew, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
That's what I was calling to comment about, and thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I don't believe that the Ebola virus can be transmitted, you know, through the air. It's not airborne yet.
But you haven't read the literature, have you? You read the newspaper and watched Fox News?
I have, and my girlfriend is in nursing school right now, and they've actually...
All right, so she's in nursing school, so she's now an expert on Ebola. Did you hear what I just said? I read to you about monkey transmission that may have been aerosolized.
That's different from humans, but anyway...
Well, hold on now. You're having a discussion. Don't run over my words. I also quoted from a military manual, which states that in several instances, secondary infections among contacts without direct body fluid have been documented, which means these instances have prompted concern of a rare phenomenon of aerosol transmission. So it is possible, is what they're saying, Matthew.
It's possible if it mutates another 300 times, but that generation...
Now again, you're changing it to meet your argument. No one said it had to mutate 300 times.
Argument.
All right, look, you're not knowledgeable. You're an ignoramus. Your girlfriend's a nursing aide. You hear this? I'm not an expert now. Who voted for Obama now? He's refuting a genius. You don't have the credentials to refute the genius talking on the radio. You know, if I don't stand up for my credentials right now, who's going to stand up for me? Megyn Kelly? Is Ebola airborne? Aerial transmission of the virus cannot be excluded, period, end of story. You can find it if you want to search for it, or if you want to listen to Megyn Kelly, go listen to her. She has all the experts on except me. Obviously, I'm persona non grata in Blondie's kitchen there. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. WABC Jimmy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I'm just calling to let you know I ordered your book on Amazon when I was in Alaska, which was towards the end of August. And by the time I got home and did my thing, your book came out, and I got it the very next day. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't lie, but I have to tell you, I had so much fear. That's why I went to Alaska. It's a friend of mine's house. My heart used to palpitate. I couldn't sleep. Just worried, you know? And when I read your book, you know, like all night, and I read it into dawn. And I'm telling you, after I read it, I went back over certain things, and you had everything backed up, your fact checks, as you call them. And whatever anyone says about you in front of me, they know not to, because once I had an argument, LV, two, to slap somebody for you. You know why? Because you're the only one that talks like me. I'm a greenhorn from downtown Brooklyn. I live in Rattan Island, and I try to spread your word.
I understand, but this is important. You said you had a lot of anxiety until you read the book, and then you had less anxiety. Why?
Because I know what's going to be, and I know what I have to do, and I know when I stand up for you, which I do pretty much on a daily basis, because I blasted on Highland Boulevard, and everybody looks at me. And they go, shut that off, you're playing. I go, oh, kill yourself, I tell them. And I keep driving. And that's how I feel, you know. I'm not going to...
So what you're saying is you felt better knowing that you're not alone, you felt better knowing that the facts back up your feelings about this conniver in the White House, is that it?
I was the only mamaluk out here that I was going to wind up getting shot by somebody because I was screaming because you at one time on your show said...
Let me tell you something. I walk around screaming sometimes in shopping centers. I can't take it. I'm so agitated. I turn red. I can't believe that at a time like this, you know, they would pick a guy like an operative working for Al Gore and Biden to be the Ebola czar. Is this not the most naked example of a bunch of grifters out of the Sopranos you've ever seen? It's like the sporting goods store in The Sopranos, where they're busting out a sporting goods store. They don't give a damn if it's Ebola and 10 million people die. All they care about is how to grift out the money from it. Am I wrong on that observation that they're so corrupt that all they see is a dollar sign in the cash register?
That's all they care about. Like you said, follow the money, Caesar said.
Follow the money, and I can guarantee you billions will be stolen on this Ebola situation. Billions will be stolen. Masks, sanitizers, test kits, hospital care, ambulances, aspirin, Tylenol, you name it, they're going to have friends providing it, I can guarantee you.
Planes from going there, but the Antichrist in the White House...
I wouldn't even dignify him by calling him the Antichrist, because then you blaspheme Christ by mentioning his name. I wouldn't even call him that. He is what he is. And if we had a legitimate government, Jimmy, they would have stepped in already and put somebody in there who we all trust. Thanks for the call. Okay, so you see, people are passionate over this issue. What are the other headlines? ISIS trains members to fly stolen fighter jets, and we're doing nothing? See, this is another example of how competent your leader is. If ISIS is training members to fly fighter jets, why have we not blown up the fighter jets they've stolen? Answer, because we don't want to. Because they're Obama's friends, and they're getting ready to take down Assad. Don't you understand this? How stupid can this country be? Trains members to fly captured fighter jets. So we have the best fighter pilots in the world, right? And why are our coalition fighters not shooting their planes down before they get off the ground? Why? Three fighter jets captured from the Syrian military. So why haven't they blown up these jets? Why? MiG-21s, MiG-23s? Why have they not been blown up? Because they're hoping they can use them against the dictator of Syria, who is a terrible man, but it's better to do business with the devil you know than the monsters that you don't know. At least that's one man's opinion. What else is in the news? Well, I'll give you all the breaking news as we go along. Houston, Texas, I don't know the station, it's blurred, but Houston, I know Dallas. What's Houston? What's the call letter? KSEV Houston, I'm sorry, it's blocked on my screen, of course. The great KSEV, powerhouse signal. Channel 5, Carol, you're on the Savage Nation on Channel 5. What's on your mind?
I'm really discouraged at your misguided callers because they're swallowing this not airborne business. Maybe it is, maybe not.
I miss them. Wait, hold it. You said you're discouraged that I'm misguiding them?
No. The misguided callers are calling in.
Oh.
And they're being adamant about and what they're telling you, because this is something I read 10 or 15 years ago, and they can think about this. There were 200 children in this country at the time with AIDS, and they had zero risk factors. No blood transfusion, no sex, nothing. You know, where they get it? We don't know. I talked to my CDC about it, but that's beside the point. My question to you is, because I hope you can help me with this, why can't someone make this man cease and desist? He's doing everything he can do to destroy this nation. And
because we have a corrupt system without an opposition party to speak of and a corrupted press that is in his pocket. He has completely, he's taken over the press. Have you heard anyone criticize him in the press, in the mainstream press? No. ABC, CBS, NBC, have you heard much criticism of him on CNN? Of course not. MSNBC, of course not. No, because he owns them through licensing. He owns them. There's only a few voices that'll say it like it is. I will say this. In a legitimate nation at a time like this, with this level of corruption and incompetence, there would have been a move to replace the president in some kind of move from his own party. It could have happened by now. I mean, if a person is this incompetent that he continues to put out the big lie, he is more flat-footed on this than the dictators are in Africa. They would say enough is enough. We got to do something to save the American people. The fact of the matter is, you have to recognize that Ebola can be airborne. It is a nightmare that could happen. Even CNN admits that, and yet the caller is still repeating the big lie because apparently as a nursing student, as a girlfriend somewhere, she's now an expert on Ebola. Even the left-wing CNN says Ebola in the air, a nightmare that could happen. Even they're admitting it. It's the single greatest concern I've had in my 40-year public health career, said Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. He said, I can't imagine anything in my career, and this includes HIV, that would be more devastating to the world than a respiratory transmissible Ebola virus. WHO says its scientists are unaware of any virus that has dramatically changed its mode of transmission. Okay. But other experts say that some could theoretically mutate, have other capabilities. It's called genetic roulette. It's called genetic roulette, and we had a caller yesterday who said something very interesting. He's a microbiologist and a mathematician. And he said, Michael, look at the mathematical progression of the disease in Africa with the number of cases that are arithmetically or geometrically progressing. In other words, doubling every few, I guess, weeks it is now. I don't really know the numbers. He said, at that rate of copying of the disease and of the virus, each time the disease is transmitted, it could mutate. And the number of mutations that it would take for it to become airborne is not that large. So mathematically, it is statistically quite likely that this could become airborne if a strain has not already emerged that is in fact airborne. There may be several strains of Ebola, is what I'm saying to you. It's not a single virus. And I want to say something else. Many of you don't know that there are other hemorrhagic fevers that are endemic in Africa, such as Rift Valley fever, Marburg virus, and you should know that because some of these diseases, these hemorrhagic fevers, present in the same manner initially as does Ebola. And what's worrisome to me is that with the flu season approaching, everyone who starts to feel sick or nauseous or throws up is going to think that they have Ebola. That's a nightmare. And our hospitals are going to be flooded, and there's going to be a panic here. Now, I understand the government has to control this. But, you know, there's a fine line between controlling panic and inducing panic by outright lying. And that's where I come in. I'm trying to walk that line. So let's play that song, I Walk the Line. Who did that one? I Walk the Line. I Walk the Line. I like that song. I don't know who did it. Some country singer who used to work on a railroad. I forget his name.
Because you're mine.
I Walk the Line.
I Walk the Line.
Beautiful song. He means a railroad line. He doesn't mean a thin line. I walk the thin line. It's a little harder than a double rail line. All right, we're living in this together, friends. Just remember this, we're all in this together. Everyone listening to this show should know only one thing. Hate me or love me, agree with me or disagree with me, you have not transcended the zoological order. And I don't care how progressive you are, I don't care how liberal you are, I don't care how much of a bootlicker you are of the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party, it doesn't matter to me. At the end of the day, we're all humans. We all belong to the same zoological order called Homo sapiens, and all of us are vulnerable to this disease. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
I don't have a philosophical objection necessarily to a travel ban. That is the thing that is going to keep the American people safe.
Right, right.
The problem is that in all the discussions I've had thus far with experts in the field, experts in infectious disease,
rubbish,
is that a travel ban is less effective than the measures that we are
rubbish. You're talking to the same clowns who you put in office. So Frieden, Mr. Soda Tax. That's who you're talking to, Fauci? They've been around for 30 years, and they have one knowledge base, that's on AIDS. This is not AIDS. This is not the HIV virus, but they're putting out the same rhetoric. So let's get down to brass tacks. Something you haven't heard yet. Ebola is an RNA virus. What does that mean to you? What's RNA? Do you know the difference between RNA and DNA? You don't have to. You know vaguely what it means. It's an RNA virus, which means that every time it copies itself, it makes one or two mutations. Now, some of these mutations are meaningless. They mean nothing. But some of them might be able to change the way the virus behaves inside the human body. Dr. C.J. Peters, one of the heroes featured in the Hot Zone, said this. Imagine every time you copy an essay, you change a word or two. Eventually, it's going to change the meaning of the essay. So what does that mean to you? What that means is no one is keeping track of the mutations that are happening across West Africa. So no one knows what the virus actually looks like today. Yet Obama keeps repeating the crap put out by this moron, Frieden. Did you hear what I just said? The director of the Galveston National Laboratory at the University of Texas, James DeLook, Dr. DeLook, said the problem is that no one is keeping track of the mutations happening across West Africa. So no one really knows what the virus has become. Here's another fact, and here's something you should know. A group of researchers looked at how Ebola changed over a short period of time in just one area of Sierra Leone early on in this outbreak before it started to spread as quickly as it is now spreading. And listen what they found. You haven't heard this yet on Fox News. Blondie hasn't produced this yet because she hasn't had Michael on. They found more than 300 genetic changes in the virus in this one country. 300 genetic changes in the virus. Another expert, Dr. Sabidi, associate prof at Harvard, said it's frightening to look at how much this virus mutated within just 3 weeks. So is it airborne? Well, they say no, because Obama's listening to the great Fauci, Anthony Fauci, and the great soda man. The soda man, a man belongs on a seltzer truck. He couldn't even deliver a case of seltzer properly, and he's in charge of the CDC. No, Mr. Obama, you better start listening to others than your inner circle. You better get out of your bunker and take a deep breath and look around and ask some real virologists and real experts. Not the bunker circle, down there in the bunker with you. Because they're lying to you. They're ignoramuses. They don't know what they're talking about. I do. I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
If we institute a travel ban instead of the protocols that we put in place now, history shows that there is a likelihood of increased avoidance. People do not readily disclose their information.
What you're hearing is rhetoric put into the president's head by the people who ran the AIDS years at various organizations, and they're trying to apply the same rules that apply to HIV transmission to Ebola transmission. Unfortunately for them, they're not comparable. They're not comparable. It's that simple. And they should know better. I don't think they do. These are experts in AIDS transmission. They were given great rewards for all the years that they did work in those areas, Fauci and Frieden. But in terms of Ebola, they're misadvising the president. And he really ought to listen to experts outside of this inner circle of AIDS experts, because they're two different worlds here. Ebola travel bans have been enacted by nearly 30 countries, but not by Obama. And he's repeating the same story that we heard about AIDS, which is that if you crack down on people, they won't disclose. They'll go underground. They may engage in something called broken travel. They'll hide the fact they've been to the disease. We may get less information about who has heard the same exact rhetoric during the height of the AIDS epidemic. And I'm speaking now to people in this who listen to this program who may have HIV. You are at greater risk than the general population if you have a compromised immune system. And I'm quite surprised that you're letting this president get away with this simply because you think he's friendly to you. Ignorance is nobody's friend. I want to remind you of that. And a travel ban is necessary, and it's necessary yesterday, which is why 30 countries have enacted such a travel ban. But because he has not very bright doctors around him, down there in the bunker, he's getting the wrong information. Obama is not really getting the right information. He's giving the same rhetoric. I heard it during the AIDS years. It's not new to me. And I want to tell you something. And even CNN, who went out of their way to attack me with that stupid attack this week by that jerk, Jake Woodpecker, says Ebola in the air, a nightmare that could happen. And then they do a very good article on it. And they quote real experts, not those folks down in the bunker with the president. And they say it could happen. And the thing for you to know is that the Ebola virus mutates every time a person gets Ebola, a new one. Every new person who gets Ebola may get a mutated virus, because every time they get it, the virus gets another chance to mutate and develop new capabilities. So far, there's been 7,100 cases of Ebola with 3,300 deaths. And listen to this. That's a very high death rate. So it's more virulent and more deadly than original. So what does that tell you? It's also spreading at a faster rate than it was earlier in the outbreak. What is that telling you? That all is well because the president's giving you this gobbledygook? Dr. C.J. Peters, one of the heroes featured in the Hot Zone, said, imagine every time you copy an essay, you change a word or two. Eventually, it's going to change the meaning of the essay, which means the virus changes. So what does that mean to you? Maybe nothing, or maybe something. But you should know that in 2012, Canadian researchers found that Ebola Zaire, which is involved in the current outbreak, was passed from pigs to monkeys in the air. It was airborne from pigs to monkeys. Dr. James LeDuc, director of the Galveston National Lab at the University of Texas, said the problem is that no one is keeping track of the mutations happening across West Africa, so no one really knows what the virus looks like today. Here's one last point. A group of researchers looked at how Ebola changed over a short period of time in just one area of Sierra Leone early in the outbreak, before it was spreading as quickly as it is now. Guess what they found? They found that there were 300 genetic changes in the virus. Did you hear what I said? So even if it has not become airborne, the virus has overwhelmed efforts to stop it because it keeps changing. And this is something that you have to understand. It's why I yesterday was comedic when I said they don't know Ebola from Shinola. And I urged Obama to fire Frieden and put in some real experts in the field and put in a restriction on travel immediately. I've been saying it for weeks now. I'm glad to hear that others are saying it finally. But you don't take a new health commissioner for Bloomberg, who advised controversial policies on banning sodas, and suddenly now he's an expert on Ebola. No, you get rid of him and you put someone in like Osterholm or Sabetti or LeDuc or others who have real credentials in the field, and you stop relying on your inner circle of advisors, because it's no longer just going out to the press. It's now a disease that can affect all of us. And that's the opening to the show tonight. I'm very emotional about this. And yesterday I talked about King Lear, and I try to tell you who King Lear was. I think it went over most people's heads. But what was interesting about me referring to Shakespeare's play King Lear about Obama, and then I played Wagner, the Valkyries. Remember that, Robert? We have Valkyries. And I did three things that were, you might call highbrow. You know what happened? I got very, very different callers called in, and someone said to me, how did you get a caller like a microbiologist and a teacher who teaches English literature when you rarely get him? And I said, you know, I found out something in radio a long time ago. Radio is transmitted by sound waves, as you well know. What you're listening to is Michael Savage, of course, through your car speaker or your iPhone speaker. But you're picking him up through sound waves. Think about what I'm saying. You know where I'm going already. If you have a quick mind, you could follow where I'm going. Waves. Sound waves. Energy. And depending upon what you put out through your sound waves on radio is the kind of audience that you will attract. And that will tell you why one show gets a certain kind of listener and caller and why another show gets another kind of caller and listener. If I just wanted to get the histrionic Obama-bashing callers, that's really easy. That's really easy to do. There's nothing wrong with it. They'd all be right, but it's boring. But if you want to learn something in addition to trying to figure out for yourself what the relative risk is and whether you should be alarmed or you think that I'm just being an alarmist, then I think you need to start listening to me a little more carefully. Look at my actual credentials rather than what you've read about in some of the blogs from people who don't know who I am or what I've done. And then you may come to the conclusion that I'm actually your best friend. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now let's go to the callers. Phoenix, Arizona, Gene, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, Dr. Savage. I have two thoughts. The first has to do, you know, this whole idea of Ebola not being airborne. The World Health Organization has very clearly stated it is aerosolized. So, in a sense, you can say that it's...
Okay, well, I know. It can be aerosolized. We've covered that. What else are you calling about? Please make it quick.
I want to tell you that I think President Obama is refusing to tell people that because he's not speaking to educated people. He's speaking to the stupid people. Like,
all right, we got that. We covered that. They're not stupid. They're biased and they're limited. They're not stupid. Fauci is not stupid. He's very bright. But he's bound by the parameters of what he knows and what's worked for him. Fauci at the NIH has been there he's ensconced there since the AIDS epidemic broke out in the 80s. Frieden, another one, in place because of the AIDS epidemic. This is a different disease. It's a different type of virus. It is not the same, and yet I hear the same rhetoric I heard during the AIDS epidemic. If you compare the rhetoric you're hearing from Obama, this is a difficult disease to catch. You can only catch it through being in contact with the bodily fluids. This is rhetoric from the AIDS years. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, Ebola is an RNA virus. Let me go back to some of the science. What does that mean to you? Don't tune out on me and say, I can't follow this. It's very easy. What is RNA? It's a virus that has ribonucleic acid as its genetic material. So what does that mean? Well, you don't have to know the details. No one's an expert on it, but the experts. But in the category of what an RNA virus can do, notable human diseases caused by RNA viruses include Ebola, hemorrhagic fever, SARS, influenza, hepatitis C, polio, measles, West Nile fever. That's just giving you a general category of the type of illnesses transmitted by or diseases caused by RNA viruses. So what does that have to do with the price of eggs? Well, nothing unto itself, but it's not identical to the HIV virus. It may not even be in the same category. So to apply the same rhetoric and the same protocols that you applied to the early years of the AIDS epidemic is not intelligent. It is not intelligent, which is why the message coming from Obama and Frieden and Fauci is falling flat. It's because people intuitively can tell they're groping and they're lying. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So I'm trying to educate people the best we can. I try it through humor by saying they don't know Ebola from Shinola. You can see the article on michaelsavage.com. Etc. Now let's go to some of the other callers. KCMO Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, yesterday couldn't have been more poignant. Wednesday night, we had a little bit of an intervention for my son-in-law who's been 15 years in the National Guard. My wife said, under no circumstances will you go to Africa. My daughter said, I'd rather see you go to Iraq than go to Africa. So you give, metaphorically speaking, you gave my wife another bullet in her gun to keep him from going to Africa.
Well, here's what I would say. I would say that any National Guardsman who was told to go to Africa should investigate with an attorney whether or not you actually have to comply with that order. Because you signed a paper when you signed up for the National Guard. So far as I know, it didn't say you're going to be a part of the International Guard, did it?
That's right. He's an honorable man, and that whole...
I'm saying, but the contract to join the National Guard didn't say you might be sent to fight Ebola. No one turned you into an orderly to clean up vomit in Africa.
Thank you for the call.
No, I'm telling you. I'd look into it from the point... I would get a lawyer to do a class action suit against the U.S. National Guard. In my chapter 4 in Stop the Coming Civil War, I talk about the war on the U.S. military. Do you understand how serious this is? That the military itself is not so sure it may not be airborne. Not as sure, for example, as the president. Before we take our break, Roberts, please, would you play General Dempsey, who said he's concerned for his troops with the airborne thing, if you have that one? Raise your hand. Go ahead, do it.
You know, you'll hear different people describe whether it could become airborne. I mean, if you bring two doctors who happen to have that specialty into a room, one will say, no, there's no way it'll ever become airborne, but it could mutate so it would be harder to discover. It actually disguises itself in the body, which is what makes it so dangerous and has that incubation period of about 21 days. Another doctor will say, well, if it continues to mutate at the rate it's mutating, and if we go from 20,000 infected to 100,000, the population might allow it the opportunity to mutate and become airborne.
Okay, so that's General Dempsey, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who, frankly, I have more faith in than anyone yet in the government. I think that he's shined during this crisis as far as he can. He probably wants to say even more. I think he's worried about his troops, which is why 2 days ago they announced that they will quarantine all the troops that they deploy to Africa and quarantine them for, I think, 90 days after they come back to make sure they're not showing symptoms. Isn't that prudent? That's a little different than Obama saying definitively, as he says, in clip 4, which is ridiculous what Obama's saying. Play clip 4. Listen to this.
What remains true is that this is not an airborne disease. It is not easy to catch. You can only catch it through...
Well, let's start. Even using the word catch it shows how ignorant this president is. Easy to catch? Is he talking to school children? Who does he think he's talking to? What do you mean catch? Catch a cold? Catch Ebola? The phrase itself shows the mind of an adolescent or a child. I'm sorry, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff ought to take over the United States of America to save all of us from these grifters in the White House, in my humble opinion. I'm just joking. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So, in other words, the president is listening to people who made their bones, so to speak, during the AIDS years. And what they're doing is applying the rhetoric of AIDS to the Ebola virus. Write it down, because I'm right about this, which is why he's getting it wrong. I don't blame the president. He can't be an expert on everything. He's great at community organizing and BSing the public. He does a very good job of BSing the public that depends upon the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine. I get that. And he does a very good job there. But he can't know everything. No one can. But in this field, he ought to rely upon experts other than the people who are around him who are misadvising him. Now, there's some great sound out there. For example, listen to Representative Ed Royce, Republican of California, on why we should suspend visa applications from Ebola nations in clip 19.
There isn't an inalienable right to travel or tourism to the United States. That's a privilege from a part of the world, especially where at this point in time you have a pandemic. It is only common sense to issue an order to take a time out on issuing those visas.
Right. Now go on to 20. Very important.
19 times in the past that I've seen, we've had regional conflicts or, the flu, and decisions were made to put the issuing of visas on hold. Certainly we should be doing that right now.
Right. Now, you have to ask yourself why Obama's being so damn stubborn at a time like this. Why is he being this stupid? This is stupidity. And it's stupidity that borders on the insane. And I'll say that again. You know, a person could be stupid and then they can be insanely stupid. If you would ban travel during a flu outbreak from countries where the flu is raging, why wouldn't you do it now? Because you're stupid? What in the heck is going on in this man's brain? Why doesn't the issue a travel ban when surrounding African nations have done so? I'm telling you there's going to be riots in this country unless he institutes a travel ban. Not because I said so. There'll be strikes. Unions will strike. You'll see airline pilots walking off the job. You'll see stewardesses walking off the job. You'll see baggage handlers walking off the job. People are going to go on strike, as they rightly should. They're not going to put their life at risk because of a bunch of dumb ideologues inside the Oval Office. And because they have common sense does not mean that the people in the White House necessarily have more common sense. They could have less common sense. We need an immediate travel ban, or there will be hell to pay in this country if this epidemic continues to escalate as it's escalating. And remember, we had no Ebola here until Obama let patient zero come in from Africa because of his open borders policy. I talk about borders, language, and culture and stop the coming civil war. I'm warning you, there are other diseases on the horizon.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, if you want to break down what you've taken, want to take something home from this show today that is new to the media, it would be the fact that the reason we're hearing misinformation coming out of the White House on Ebola and a totally flawed strategy that puts all of us, including themselves, at risk, is because the, quote, experts he is listening to, Fauci and whatever his name, Dingleberger, I don't remember his name. I don't. I can't remember his name. Fauci once had a distinguished career way back when. The other one has no distinction whatsoever, so far as I know. He's just a politician. But nevertheless, they come out of the world of AIDS. And what they've done is they've given the president the same assurances and the same rhetoric that was used during the early years of the AIDS epidemic, and saying it's difficult to spread and this and that. It's not true. It's not the same exact class of viruses, number one. Now, it is true that both the Ebola virus and the HIV virus originated in Africa, and that's a commonality, but they're not the same virus. HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, is a lentivirus, a type of retrovirus that copies itself once it enters the body and takes over a cell. Once inside the cell, the HIV enzyme called reverse transcriptase converts the viral RNA into DNA. And the DNA is then transported to the cells. You don't have to know much more about it, but it's not the same disease. And yet the experts on AIDS are advising King Lear right now. King Lear would do well to push these men out of his inner circle for now, in my opinion, and bring in world experts on Ebola and Ebola transmission, and I've named four of them today on the show. They might tell him much different stories about the natural history of the Ebola virus than he's hearing from these two clowns that he's listening to. They're not experts in this field. And what I've told you has more expertise in it than the president himself probably knows. I say, I'm not a fan of President Obama. I mean, I've written books about his left-wing fanaticism. But when it comes to this, I'm convinced the reason he has not instituted a travel ban is because he's listening to these two clowns who are assuring him that we shouldn't do it. But the rhetoric I'm hearing is identical to what I heard during the early years of the AIDS virus, which is that if you do this, you'll drive them underground. If you drive them underground, they're not going to report. If they don't report, you're going to have a higher rate of infection. I heard this before. It does not apply in this case to Ebola. And you have to understand why the president is making such a catastrophic error in not closing off flights. And if you listen to some other people who are talking about it, you'll realize this is going to happen. It will happen. But by the time he closes the barn door, it'll be too late. It should have been closed right at the beginning of the epidemic. Listen to clip 18 on the Savage Nation. This is the Foreign Affairs Chairman, Representative Ed Royce of California, in clip 18. Listen carefully.
In 2009, when H1N1 influenza, when the flu was a major problem, you'll notice that we suspended visas in, for example, in one of the consulates in Mexico. Why? Because we knew that people who were infected might fly to the United States. So until that situation got under control, there was a suspension. The question I've had is why at the outset of the Ebola pandemic, why we didn't quit issuing those travel visas.
You see, Now, that's a man who's asking logical questions. But Obama's not listening because he's a Republican. Instead, he listens to two advisors who are more like the fools in King Lear than trusted advisors to the king. Listen now to Representative Tim Murphy, Republican of Pennsylvania, in clip 22. Listen what this man has to say about Ebola.
I'm troubled by their continual belief, as with the White House as well, as saying that a travel ban would be a problem. Quarantine shouldn't be there. Telling people they shouldn't travel, they don't agree with that yet. And I'm troubled by all that. Monitoring fevers and relying on people's self-reporting is still the crux of their containment and surveillance efforts. And for something that is this deadly, even though, granted, only a couple people have in this country, we don't want anybody to have this and suffer from this.
Again, but congressmen, senators listening to this show, some of you may have staffers listening. I have determined why this problem is not being tackled properly, and that's because I've been around the world a little longer than most people in the media. I also was around working in a medical clinic during the early years of the AIDS epidemic. You may not know this. This is an odd fact in my history that is often overlooked by people who hate me because they don't understand where I'm coming from. Do you know that when I got, after I earned my doctorate from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978, shortly thereafter, I took a job in an all-gay men's health clinic in San Francisco. And all of the doctors, with the exception of me, were gay. They were wonderful people, and they were my friends. They were nice people. In 1980, before the epidemic really took off, there were odd diseases appearing, and these doctors did the best they could to treat them. And they didn't know what the diseases were because nobody defined it as an AIDS epidemic at that time. I was in that clinic working there 79 and 80. And listen what happened. Because these diseases started to appear in that clinic, I started to take certain intuitive germophobic precautions, and I became frightened. I didn't know what it was. And then I eventually quit. I quit because I didn't know what these diseases were being caused by. And two of the doctors who were very nice men died of AIDS themselves. They didn't even call it AIDS at that time. I forget what they were calling it. What I'm saying to you is I've watched this evolve for a very long time, and the same thinking that was applied in the early years of the AIDS epidemic are now being applied by the president because he's being advised by the same mentality. But President Obama, if you listen to what I'm saying to you, you're not being advised properly. It's not the same disease. The same protocols are not working. These clowns need to be pushed aside, and you need to bring in some real virologists. And you need to bring in parasitologists if you need to, even though this isn't a parasite. There are parasitologists who've worked in West Africa on Marburg and other diseases who can advise you much better than these two clowns who are pulling off the same act that they pulled off for the last 30 years and done very well indeed. And we're all at risk. And that's really a very deep summation of what the problem is. And many of you didn't know this, but that is part of my background. Does it make me the world's leading expert? No, but it tells you a little bit more about my background that you may not have known, and you should know this. And the reason you should know this is because the whole issue of viruses, immunology, while I'm not an expert in the field, I've written in this field for the popular audience. You say, well, what does that make you? Well, in order to understand how to transfer the information to the average reader, I had to study it from a rather detailed perspective and then boil it down for myself to understand it for myself first, and then write it for the general public. And the book was called Maximum Immunity. It was published in 1983, I believe, 81. I don't remember when, 83. And it was in the early years of the AIDS epidemic. It was very well received, published by Houghton Mifflin, and it was an outline of the basic issues of the immune system. It was, as I said yesterday, it was published in six languages, and I'm very proud of that book. And it's very important that my credentials be displayed clearly on this show, because you don't know who to believe. You're listening to a lot of different information, and rightly so, you're skeptical. And remain skeptical. Be skeptical of me. I'm not telling you to buy what I'm telling you wholesale. But with regard to this Ebola epidemic, the reason we even have it in the country is because of the failed liberal policies that have been put in place for several presidencies now, started by Bill Clinton with open borders. I remember when the borders were broken down. I know who did it. I can tell you the name of the individual and what she's doing now, what kind of money she's making. They're all in on the same scam. They broke the borders with Mexico. They pushed NAFTA down our throats under the big lie that it would be better for our economy, and it hasn't been. It's almost destroyed our economy. Well, let me tell you something else. Diseases, amongst all other things, are not an import that any of us want. But wouldn't it have been commonsensical to think that if you rip down a border with a third world country like Mexico, and you permit people to enter where there are diseases that have been eradicated in this country, that some of these diseases would reemerge in the country? Well, it's exactly what's happening. And that's why we see the ED68 virus amongst our children, now disseminated through 50 states, again because of open borders by Obama. That's right. That's a whole chapter that you should pay attention to and stop the coming civil war. It's a very important chapter because several children have died from this ED68, including a boy in New Jersey not too long ago, one of a group of triplets. Tuberculosis has now broken out in Lynn, Massachusetts, where Obama dumped some of these unaccompanied minors on this poor white working class town in Massachusetts. TB broke out. Do you understand there are consequences to failed policies? Now, right away you say, oh, what about Bush? That's all you can think of? That's the best you can come up with? Is that the best the left can come up with? Is that Bush did it too? Or Bush is responsible? Can't you grow up and move on? This is no longer left, right, Republican, Democrat, black, white, Hispanic, gay, straight. Nothing to do with any of that. This is about all of us in the same lifeboat. We are all in the same lifeboat. So let me ask you something. Now, we're all in one large lifeboat together. Do you let someone into that lifeboat who has a disease that can infect everyone in the lifeboat? Well, if you're an idiot, you do. But if you have sanity, you say, I'm sorry, sir, and you push him back in the water. Do you understand the twisted logic of saying, well, we're good people, so we're going to let everyone into this lifeboat because we're good Americans? Well, now what? Everyone on the boat? 50% on the boat? 80% of the people on the boat get these diseases, and that makes you a better person because you're now dead? Do you understand that there are limits to philosophies, and sometimes philosophies are self-limiting, and that at a certain point you have to abandon your philosophy if it is not orienting you towards survival? Do you understand that liberalism is a deadly philosophy, especially when it comes to diseases such as Ebola? Do you understand this? At some point, many of you listening to this show are going to have to come to your senses and say, you know what, that guy makes sense. We do have to close the borders, but the reason Obama will not institute a travel ban is not so much about Ebola and Africa. The minute he does that with regard to Africa, the people are going to say, wait a minute, if it's worked to stop the dissemination of Ebola, why shouldn't we think about slamming the border with Mexico shut? Since we have diseases coming in from Mexico now that are infecting our school children. He doesn't want you to even think about that. In fact, he took your mind off the ED68 scam and tragedy by focusing you on Ebola. Do you understand we're talking about Ebola, not the ED68 virus, which has come in with Obama's unaccompanied children from Central America? Do you understand that? So let me back up. Michael Savage, the Savage Nation, champion for what? America's borders, language, and culture. That's been the motto of this show since I began a radio in 94. It's the motto of every one of my published books, which now number into the 20s. It is a centerpiece of Stop the Coming Civil War, a book that I pray you will read before the election, before it is too late. Do you understand that? Now, if you want to talk about this, please do. But I'll tell you this. There is so much money that will be made on this Ebola epidemic that you will not even be able to account for it. If you think that the scam artists have made billions on Obamacare, you're right. And if you think they're not going to make trillions on Obamacare going forward the next 10 years, you're wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. Never have we seen a cash cow emerge like this Ebola epidemic. And take a guess who Obama appoints as the Ebola czar. A bagman lawyer for Al Gore and Joe Biden, without a scintilla of credentials in the field of epidemiology, virology, or disease control. Does that give you confidence? I don't think so. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I think that what I've said thus far, I don't want to repeat anymore on the show today. And the summary of it is they don't know Ebola from Shinola. And I'm urging the President of the United States to replace the CDC chief and to emulate African nations and restrict travel immediately based upon my observation that the rhetoric I'm hearing from the president and others is identical to what I heard back in the 80s about HIV. And the reason I'm telling you this is because many people in the media today were not in the media in the 80s. I was. I was working in the health field, as I said to you, in a medical clinic with medical doctors in a gay men's health clinic on Van Ness Avenue. I can remember the building to this day. And when that disease started to emerge, they didn't even have a name for the disease. But common sense indicated something horrible was happening. And when two of the doctors themselves came down, one of them went blind. He was a very nice guy. And then he died. I freaked out and I basically resigned. I didn't know what the disease was. And later on, we found what it was. So what I'm saying is I heard the same rhetoric back then. And I went through a lot of hatred as a result of my commonsensical statements then. And I hope I don't have to go through the same now over Ebola. I hope that people understand that we're all in the same lifeboat here and that common sense would dictate that we close the borders, we ban travel, and we start use some self-protective mechanisms that override the liberal shibboleths of open borders, etc. It's as simple as that. That's what I've been trying to tell you all day over the last few days. Here's a great caller, John, on WMAL. We have such little time, but your call is so great. Fire away.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Closing the borders and enacting a travel ban is a matter of national security. How easy would it be for the enemies of the United States to pay for someone to fly here under the disguise of helping them and spread Ebola?
In other words, let's say the radical Muslims who want to destroy this country, you're asking how hard would it be to pay a poor African with Ebola to fly in here and give him a ticket. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I mean, maybe
John, you win a prize. You should ring a bell. You win a copy of Stop the Coming Civil War, because my worst fear is that if this epidemic keeps geometrically progressing in numbers, there's going to be massive insurrection in the country. There will be first resignations in air travel. Pilots will refuse to fly in and out of Africa. Flight attendants will refuse to fly in and out. Mechanics will not work on planes coming in from Africa. Baggage handlers will not touch bags at airports. You do the mathematics on this. And you tell me what the government will do if that starts to happen. In order to avoid this type of protest, which is coming soon if they don't stop it, what we have to do is convince the government they're being misadvised, my friends. You understand what I've said to you. I hope that you hear me in the context in which I have said it. This is not even from a partisan point of view. I would not care who is in the White House. If they're doing what this guy is doing, they'd be doing the same mistakes all over again. Look at the czar he just appointed. Look at who he picks, a nun doctor, bag man for Al Gore. And
join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, we're in a dream, aren't we?
Your arms open wide.
But sometimes bad things happen in a dream. Obama's put half the country into a dream state. All right, turn it off already. Using sleight of hand and his charm and his soothing voice. He's telling us that we don't need a travel ban. Meanwhile, there are increasing calls for a travel ban. Even Cruz, the ice cream man, has been heard from and said that we need to reconvene Congress to pass a flight ban. Look, they're all behind the curve. None of them are at the head of the curve, and no one's leading the charge here except me on the Savage Nation. Common sense would say that we ban commercial air travel from countries that have an active Ebola outbreak. If 30 nations around the world have done so, including those closest to the nations with the worst case of Ebola have done so, why aren't we doing so? The answer is not medical, but political. Because Obama has committed himself to open borders, New World Order, breaking our borders, destroying our language, crushing our culture. He does not want you to even think that we're a nation that has borders. And the minute he puts in a travel ban, he's confirming the worst suspicions that right-wingers have, which is that we are a nation with firm borders and a language and a culture. And you have to understand this is all part and parcel of the philosophy behind the stupidity of not instituting a travel ban, in my opinion. I've also, in the last, you know, I've given you a tour de force today in the first 2 hours of this show, if you've been listening to any of it, that's unmatched in the media on the Ebola epidemic. No one has touched what I did today. Nobody. I thought I'd hit a high point yesterday with my opera on King Lear, but today I hit a newer high point when I compared the early years of the AIDS epidemic and the rhetoric that was coming out of the government at that time with the rhetoric that we're hearing today. Unfortunately for all of us, they're not the same diseases, so therefore the same protocols do not apply to Ebola that apply to AIDS, and yet he's being advised by people who made their bones as AIDS mavens, Fauci and the other one, Tommy Frieden. We're not living through the AIDS epidemic. It's a different virus. It's transmitted differently. Different protocols need to be put in place. So what we're hearing is misinformation, and it's not resonating with the public as correct because people understand that this is not correct. How does the average man who doesn't have the education to know that it's not correct come to the conclusion it makes no sense what Obama's telling them? Very simple. There was no Ebola in America until this terrible man came from Africa, this evil man who should be tried, by the way, posthumously with what he did. He knew he was exposed. And he came here with a lie. In fact, his own country of Liberia is considering filing charges against him. He came here knowing he had been exposed to the virus, and he came here because he wanted cheap, effective, the best medical care he could get for nothing. That's what I think happened. And now, to add insult to injury, none other than the race hustler Jackson, Jesse Jackson, goes down there and says that the hospital failed him. They failed him because he was African, racism. It becomes crazier and uglier by the second. And the only thing we have left for us is the truth, and the truth should set us free, but we're not living in a free country. Let me repeat that. There's a biblical phrase, I think, that says, the truth shall set you free. That's true if you live in a free country with the free dissemination of ideas. Now, it is true you're able to hear my opinions on this and other subjects on a daily basis here on your local radio show, radio station, on the Savage Nation. So in that sense, you can judge for yourself whether what I say is truthful or whether it makes sense to impose a travel ban. But are you hearing the same discussions widely and thoroughly? You're not hearing it from the Associated Press. They're a wholly owned subsidiary of the government. And you're not hearing it on the Alphabet channels because they are wholly owned subsidiaries of the government media complex. How many days do we have left to contain this epidemic? How many days do we have left to save America? Well, when it comes to saving America, we have only the days until the election. That's if they haven't already stolen the election with absentee ballots. I don't know if you saw this headline. I was alarmed when I read it. The election's not going to take place for quite some time, and yet over 1 million votes have already been cast in the midterm elections. How did that happen? Did you hear that story? I don't know if you heard that yet. The election's not until a few weeks from now, and already 1 million people voted in the midterms, and the election is 3 weeks away. It's on the Drudge Report. How is that possible? The AP reports nearly 1 million Americans have cast ballots already for midterm elections. How is that possible? 60% of those early votes are in Florida. That's interesting. Now, how is that happening? How did this come to be? A spokesman for National Democrats said the party is especially focused on encouraging early voting by Democrats who usually don't participate in midterms. So already they're stealing the election. The Democrats are already ballot stuffing. They're doing what they did in Chicago. They're doing what they did to steal the election from Nixon and give it to JFK. They're stealing the election in advance. I don't think you understand how dangerous this is. Now, combine this advanced voting with the millions of illegal aliens that Obama already made citizens, in essence, before the last election. 4 million of them were granted citizenship just in time for the election in 2012. You know that had something to do with Obama getting reelected by about 4 million votes. You know that. So it's happening right in front of your eyes, which is why I wrote the chapter, The Long March, in the book. The Long March is a loaded statement that refers to Mao Zedong's Long March. And I want to read something to you on page 16 of my new book. I write this, I fear the worst. Right now, Americans are angrier and more divided than I've seen them since the 1960s. What fires this rage is that we become a post-constitutional society. As you'll read in the coming pages of Stop the Coming Civil War, the system has been turned upside down. What's right is wrong, what's good is bad. What's subversive is patriotic. We now exist at the whim of lobbyists who control a government that is liable to do anything it wants to satisfy its lust for power. Right now, the nation is a tinderbox that can easily go up in flames because we're increasingly under the thumb of an administration that is destroying our 200-year-old tradition of defending our borders, language, and culture, and replacing with a culture of statelessness and corruption. Right now, we're in a place that mirrors the darkest days of our country's history. On February 10, 2007, some 146 years after Fort Sumter surrendered and the American Civil War began, Barack Obama announced his first presidential campaign in Abraham Lincoln's hometown of Springfield, Illinois. In that speech, Obama declared that, like Lincoln, he was out to free a people and, quote, transform a nation. Without question, I wrote, we're living in a nation more divided than any since Lincoln's presidency, and we've entered a time and place that may be as dangerous as it was during the Lincoln years. I worry, though, that as happened in Lincoln's time, we're moving not toward expanded freedom, but toward civil war. I fear the worst. Let me be clear, I wrote, that while Barack Obama is the executive head of the current administration, I'm speaking in broader terms than simply about the president alone. I'm speaking of both Democratic and Republican senators and congressmen who are doing nothing to hold back a government that has, in my opinion, overreached its legal and constitutional powers and brought us under its control. It is coming more and more to resemble a government based not on the rule of law, but on the greed and hunger for power of a crony oligarchy. A civil war would enable this crony government to consolidate the power it has already granted itself through the broad use of executive orders, the power granted to cabinet secretaries and other political appointees, and the unwillingness of our lawmakers to step in and put a halt to this takeover. Page 18 of The Coming Civil War in The Long March. With our nation divided, the government could marshal all of those on its side, the TSA, street gangs, the National Guard, a military now purged of patriotic generals, and without a command structure loyal to the Constitution, against those that would stand up to the oppression. Something much like what we face today happened during Lincoln's presidency. Lincoln wasn't a saint. As great as he was, he committed crimes against the Constitution and against ordinary citizens. I don't want to read any further. We're living in very, very precarious times. You can read it yourself, and then you can do what you think needs to be done. And I think what needs to be done to avoid a civil war is to regain Congress, give it to the tepid Republicans, and then force the Republicans to defend our borders, language, and culture. We have an opportunity to do so with the Republicans, while with the Democrats, as you can see, it's a closed shop. There's been no opportunity to reach them on any level whatsoever. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that they have access to Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Harry Reid, Joe Biden? Are they open to your opinion? You say, well, are the Republicans open to your opinion? Yes, the answer is some of them are. While with the Democrats, none of them are. And so if I have to take my choice, I would go for the Republican vote, and I would say we then have a real job ahead of us. See, our work's going to begin after the election. If we can actually have a fair election, I'm not so sure we will have one, not since I've reported just now that 1 million absentee ballots have already been cast, most of them Democrats. I think they've stolen the election in advance. But let's assume that the Republicans are put in and regain the Senate and they retain control or increase it in the House of Reps. What happens then? You think you can rest? No, because I'll be back on the radio that day, the next day, and I will give you the plan to save America and its borders, language, and culture. And I ask you, please, to understand that this is not even a partisan message. It's a message to save our very freedoms themselves. And I ask you to share your information with a friend or a family member who doesn't know what's going on around them. Arm yourself with the facts. Read it to them and ask them to please listen and show them the references. That's all I can do for you. Now, how do I prove this is a crony government of the lowest order? Take a look at who Obama just appointed to be the so-called Ebola czar. We have a raging nightmare emerging in America, and he cannot change his spots even with an epidemic like this. Instead of picking a distinguished, nonpartisan, or bipartisanly appointed or picked expert on Ebola control, he picks a lawyer hack who worked for both Al Gore and Joe Biden, a man who was deeply enmeshed in the Solandra scandal. What does this say to you? It says to you that this man is hopeless. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
On drugs. Is that the problem? That they're old hippies and they're still drugged, they're still in their systems? Is that why they smirk in the face of disaster? Is that why they get up with nice-looking suits, with sickly smiles, and tell us that they don't know what they're doing, but they're going to get it right next time? Why is CNN singling out Michael Savage for attack? Well, I'll let you decide why. It's pretty clear to me why. There's less than 20 days left to save America. They all have read Stop the Coming Civil War. They understand what's in the book. They know it's sold out in the bookstores. They understand that there's a flashpoint in America that has probably been crossed. And they know that Ebola was it. They know it. So what do? Now they go after a man like me, who has the credentials to criticize Frieden and everyone else for their incompetence and criminal negligence is what I'm calling it. So they think they're going to undermine my credibility by refuting my logic? You can't refute logic.
Since Obama sent ordinary volunteer military to Africa already, 3,000 to 5,000, why is he sending additional troops, so to speak, in the form of National Guard? My suspicion is because the military is fighting him. They will not send any more. They've already said behind his back, they went behind him and said, we're going to quarantine all the troops when they come back for 90 days to make sure they're not carrying a deadly disease. So that goes against the lie he put out about this virus. Just childish, by the way. Just childish as can be. So let's begin with one of the most childish statements I've ever heard with regarding to this disease is clip four.
I know that people are concerned about the fact that the second healthcare worker had traveled. Here's what we know about Ebola, that it is not like the flu. It is not airborne.
Uh-oh.
The only way that a person can contract Ebola is by coming into direct contact with the bodily fluids of somebody who is showing symptoms.
Wrong.
In other words, if they don't have symptoms,
wrong,
they're not contagious.
Wrong. Completely wrong. He's listening to the CDC and the NIH. They're giving him advice as though it's the AIDS epidemic, which it is not. The AIDS virus, the HIV virus, to be more specific, is different than the Ebola virus in many ways, and he should know that, and so should Mr. Condom know there at the CDC. Now, to prove that I'm right and that he's being misadvised, and I don't like his policies any more than most of you do, but I think he's being advised wrongly by Frieden and by Fauci, in my opinion. General Dempsey, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in clip 10 says something quite different. Listen to 10.
You know, you'll hear different people describe whether it could become airborne. I mean, if you bring two doctors who happen to have that specialty into a room, one will say, no, there's no way it'll ever become airborne, but it could mutate so it would be harder to discover. It actually disguises itself in the body, which is what makes it so dangerous and has that incubation period of about 21 days. Another doctor will say, well, if it continues to mutate at the rate it's mutating, and if we go from 20,000 infected to 100,000, the population might allow it the opportunity to mutate and become airborne.
So who are you going to believe, President Lear or General Dempsey? I'll let you decide. So what do you think about all of this? Someone wrote, Savage has a valid point. Why send troops to Africa that are trained for military combat? Even nurses who are trained have been infected, so why would troops be any safer? That is all we need is for infected troops to come back home and infect family and friends. It does not take a genius to figure this out, CNN. You ought to listen to Michael Savage. Okay, so people are listening. They're listening and they're using their own mind. Are you ready for more bad news? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Here it is, Ebola Watch. Lugan Hospital testing inmate who had been to West Africa. Possibly Ebola case outside of Washington, D.C., Lugan County. Oh, God. A Lugan County Adult Detention Center inmate who had recently been to Ebola-affected areas of West Africa and transported to the hospital in Lansdowne after experiencing a low-grade fever.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Here we are in the Savage Nation living through, really, the best of times and the worst of times. As Dickens wrote it, I mean, it is the best of times and the worst of times. In the sense that we still have our freedom, sort of. We can still more or less go around without weapons in our pockets, sort of. That's the mark of a civilized society, sort of. We can still buy food in the grocery store. There's still water coming out of the tap. The electricity goes on and off in Marin County whenever the PG&E decides to run electricity. It's like Poland here now. When they want to turn off Comcast or electricity, they do. I feel like I'm living in Eastern Europe in the 1950s over here north of San Francisco. But it's the best of times and the worst of times. If only the clown in the White House would be fired and the entire administration changed tomorrow. In other words, if we lived in a participatory democracy and there was a vote held next week, they'd be voted out in a landslide because the people have had enough. They'd be voted a vote of no confidence in there, and they're done. They're finished. We live in a dictatorship. No matter what he does, he's got a payday. No matter what he does to us, payday. No matter what he mishandles, payday. That's why yesterday I did a show calling him King Lear. How many of you really got the King Lear thing? Wasn't it too highbrow? I'm going to cut back on the rhetoric. It's enough already. Bermuda was hit with 43-foot waves. That's, of course, a direct result of global warming. There's never been another hurricane that ever hit Bermuda, ever in history. It's only now as a result of Al Gorleone that the hurricane was this strong. And the 43-foot waves hit, and oh, my God, and what are we going to do about that? Did you know that Obama's credit card was denied in a restaurant? And that's a funny story in its own way when you think about it. I mean, would you take a credit card from this man? Obama's credit card denied at restaurant in New York City. His car was rejected. We went to pay for his meal at a New York restaurant during the U.N. General Assembly gathering early this month. Apparently, they thought there was some fraud going on, Mr. Obama joked. Hello? Yeah, well, there's fraud going on the federal level, so why not with your credit card? You know, I'm surprised he even gave it under his own name. Why didn't he give it under, let's say, another name? Like in the Sopranos, when Tony Soprano checked into the Plaza Hotel, he was Mr. Smith. He had a stolen credit card, right? They don't use their real name. They get a card made up. They steal it from Mr. Smith. One of the guys knocks it off on a machine in New Jersey. So why couldn't he have come up with a card? Hi, my name is Barry O'Reilly, and I'd like to buy a sandwich. He could have used a fraudulent credit card. He gives them out to everyone on welfare anyway with the telephones. J.P. Morgan officials and clients say whether the president's credit card was affected. How about the national credit card? Yesterday on the Savage Nation, I was joking, and I said on the Ebola, I said they don't know Ebola from Shinola. And I urged Obama and the CDC chief to emulate African nations and restrict travel. And so naturally today, all the other hosts, since they're following me on the dog sled, repeated what I said today, which is good. As Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter who gets credit for what you do or say as long as what you do or say gets done. And I hope what I say and do gets done because it's long overdue to understand that for a week I've been saying this. Are you listening to me? Is there anyone out there who's alive and listening? I said this last week. I said the surrounding African nations, around the Ebola-stricken nations, have slammed the door shut and created a travel ban. I said, what does this tell us? It tells us that third world African dictatorships have leadership that's smarter than Obama or less corrupt. That's what I say. And how do I prove that? Well, it's simple. Take a look at who they appointed as the Ebola czar today. He knows nothing about medicine, nothing about science. He's nothing but a bagman for Al Gore and Joe Biden. He's a lifetime backroom wheeler dealer. They stepped over a woman who has all the training necessary in health and medicine, who's actually in a position to run the Office of Emergency Preparedness in the HHS, and they stepped over to put a grifter in there, in my opinion, Ron Klain, chief of staff to Vice President Joe Gaffer Biden. He's the point man on fighting Ebola in West Africa. I guess there's an awful lot of money that's going to be made on it. And by the way, Klain was the man involved with Solyndra, incidentally. If you don't think there's going to be billions made on this, then you know nothing about how corrupt this administration is. It is the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States of America. And the only reason they get away with it is because of you. I blame you, the American people, for having put him in office. Now you're saying, well, I didn't vote for him. Good for you, but your wife did. Your mother-in-law did. Your distant relatives did. I mean, what can I tell you? So you have a job to do. You better expose them for what they are before it is too late. Take a look at the man they put in charge here. No training whatsoever. A grifter, a bagman, a lawyer. A lawyer, another lawyer. A lawyer to be the czar, and they stepped over a woman who was trained for this. Could you believe this? Do you know who this guy is? Don't even bother. Take a guess. Just look up Solyndra. You'll see the same name. And I will remind you, Obama has signed an executive order sending National Guard units to Liberia to fight Ebola, thereby doubling down on the madness of sending troops into the Ebola zone. I have the executive order in front of me. I will read it to you. By the authority vested in me as president by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including sections 121 and 12304 of Title 10, I hereby determine that it is necessary to augment the active armed force of the United States for the effective conduct of Operation United Assistance, which is providing support to civilian yet humanitarian assistance and consequence management support related to the Ebola virus disease outbreak in West Africa. In furtherance of this operation, under the stated authority, I hereby authorize the Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Homeland Security with respect to the Coast Guard, when is not operating the service in the Navy, under their respective jurisdictions, to order to active duty any units and any individual members not assigned to a unit organized to serve, shall I read further, as a unit of the selective reserve, or any member in the individual ready reserve mobilization category and blah, 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 and to terminate the service of those units and members ordered to active duty. This order is not intended to and does not create any right or benefits, substantive or procedural, enforceable at law or in equity by any party against the United, blah, blah, blah. In other words, it's a release. Signed, Barack Obama, the White House, October 16, 2014, a day that will live in infamy. That it's important that you remember what you're about to hear on this program. Ebola travel bans have been enacted by nearly 30 countries, but not this country, because President Ebola is being foolish and misadvised, in my opinion. Nearly every African nation has put in travel bans on West African countries with significant Ebola outbreaks, but President Ebola keeps listening to the fools who are advising him, and they're making a big, big mistake. Nations with significant travel restrictions include Kenya, Zambia, and South Africa, my friends. That's a huge deal, but wait. Now nations on this side of the Atlantic have begun imposing restrictions, and calls for the U.S. to follow suit are intensifying. Colombia in South America has instituted a travel ban, okay? Does that impress you? What, are they stupid in Colombia? They're dumb. They're not as smart as you. There are nations now in this hemisphere who recognize the danger of permitting people who travel in these countries to enter their country, and so they've done the prudent thing. They've done the very prudent thing. I went through my archives. I cannot believe what I found. TB epidemic spread by immigrants. Government fails to screen for disease. Written by Michael Savage. Do you know what date? January 5th, 1999, published by Newsmax.com. I'm in another hidden location, another one of my studios, and I'm going through papers. I can't believe what fell in my hands. Headline, TB epidemic spread by immigrants. Government fails to screen for disease. Michael Savage, January 5th, 1999. When your grandparents or great-grandparents came to this country, they were put through medical screening at Ellis Island, or if they were of Asian extraction, they were screened at Angel Island on the West Coast. If any of them showed signs of disease, they were sent back to where they came from or put in quarantine until they recovered. Does this screening policy sound unfair to you, that some were sent back even though they were ill and some were put in quarantine? If this screening policy seems like unfair discrimination to you, then let me ask how many ill and diseased people you have welcomed into your home lately where they might infect you and your family? Why not? A family is really no different from a nation, only in size. If you won't open your home to people with contagious diseases, then you shouldn't allow them into your nation either. And if you don't care about your fellow citizens, care at least about your own loved ones. Sooner or later, whatever diseases immigrants bring with them will end up in your home as well. This was written in January of 1999 by Michael Savage. TB epidemic spread by immigrants, government fails to screen for disease. Be that as it may, health screening of immigrants was thrown out in this country by our government, or to be exact, by the New World Order. This was even before Clinton came along. The international powers that be, our unelected global government, decided they needed slave labor for the factories, farms, hotels, and the houses of ill repute in the United States. So they just threw aside all the screening and brought millions and millions of third world immigrants into our country to be exploited as they saw fit. Consequently, America has been invaded by an avalanche of diseases. Some of them are new to America, and some are diseases that had been eliminated in this country and then reintroduced by the immigrants. I've recognized this problem from the outset and warned that it was only a matter of time before it became a major health problem. But who likes to hear the truth, I wrote. TB is one of those diseases that had nearly been wiped out in the United States, but was then reintroduced through immigrants. After generations of heroic efforts to eradicate it in our country, TB was brought back into the U.S. by Indochinese refugees in the 1970s after the Vietnam War. Yet this is only the tip of the iceberg, for it didn't stop with the Indochinese refugees. The problem has continued to grow out of all proportion with the flood of legals and illegals into our country since then. And we're bringing them right into our midst. Did you vote for this at the ballot box? Was it ever on any ballot at any time? I don't think so. But believe me, it didn't happen without planning. And then I give other examples of immigrants and epidemics. 1999, about tuberculosis and immigrants. And now we are, of course, in the year 2014, and we have a raging Ebola epidemic that did not have to come to these shores, but President Ebola let it happen. 855-407-282. Would you please go to michaelsavage.com during the break? And would you at least check out my book, Stop the Coming Civil War? Order it today. Click on it. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
What remains true is that this is not an airborne disease. It is not easy to catch. You can only catch it through being in contact with the bodily fluids of an individual who
okay,
not
this
only
is
has
the same rhetoric put out by the CDC. It is not necessarily true that this is not an airborne disease. And it may be easy to catch, Mr. Obama. You're listening to the same clowns who misadvised you on everything else with regard to health. Let me explain something. A U.S. Army manual on infectious diseases distributed to military and healthcare providers around the world warns of an airborne version of the Ebola virus. You may not have seen this, and I'll quote it now. The Army manual says this, quote, "In several instances, secondary infections among contacts and medical personnel without direct body fluid exposure have been documented of viral hemorrhagic fever, a category which includes Ebola." Quote, "These instances have prompted concern of a rare phenomenon of aerosol transmission of infection." So you say it's a rare one? Yes, that doesn't mean it can't be airborne. I mean, the president could have said it's generally not airborne, but it's not definitively not airborne. In fact, 25 years ago, scientists demonstrated in lab testing that the Ebola virus could pass from one monkey to another through the air. So many experts say the possibility of the virus becoming airborne is very real. It doesn't mean it's not possible. It is possible, and it may in fact be happening. What are the other headlines? ISIS trains members to fly stolen fighter jets, and we're doing nothing? See, this is another example of how competent your leader is. If ISIS is training members to fly fighter jets, why have we not blown up the fighter jets they've stolen? Answer, because we don't want to. Because they're Obama's friends, and they're getting ready to take down Assad. Don't you understand this? How stupid can this country be? Trains members to fly captured fighter jets. So we have the best fighter pilots in the world. And why are our coalition fighters not shooting their planes down before they get off the ground? Why? The president has appointed a so-called Ebola czar, who really is nothing but a grifter, in my opinion, meaning a longtime operative, a lawyer, worked for Al Gore. It's unbelievable to me how corrupt this administration is. I've told you about it. it gets worse. In an age like this, with an epidemic like this, you think he'd pick a woman doctor who's waiting in the wings? By the way, she was appointed specifically to deal with this kind of epidemic, and he didn't pick her. He picked a lawyer who worked for Al Gore. That's who he picked, a political hack, a lobbyist, a fixer. What does that mean? It means they're going to scam billions of dollars off the Ebola epidemic. Hey, do I have to go any further with you? It's as far as I'm going to go. Ebola scare closes Pentagon. Somebody threw up in front of the Pentagon, and the whole Pentagon closed down. Triggered after the 9 a.m. this morning when police found a woman in the parking lot vomiting, so they said she had just recently visited West Africa, so the whole Pentagon closed down. Hey, how's that? Who is the czar of Ebola, the genius? No medical training, no PhD. Biden's chief of staff. Biden's chief of staff? Can you believe this? Hospital worker who handled Ebola samples is on a cruise ship, and she's in a quarantine. They locked her in the cabin or something. Carnival Magic cruise ship. I guess she treated Duncan. No, she didn't treat Duncan. She was in the hospital. This country's going out. Go nuts from this. Meanwhile, Biden's son fails a drug test, this discharge from the Navy. Failed a drug test for coke. Great. Okay, what can I tell you? Great. Wonderful. I guess that's the end of his career. Who knows? He could be made ahead. He should be made the head of the Ebola czar. Why not make Biden's son the Ebola czar? He's got all the qualifications. Obama's credit card denied at restaurant on New York City trip. At a New York restaurant? So the card was rejected? Turns out, I guess I didn't use it enough, said Mr. Obama. They thought there was some fraud going. There's a lot of fraud going on. Of course they wouldn't accept this credit card, would you? Would you accept a credit card from this man? Listen, I am so proud to tell you that my great best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War, has made it to the top of most bestseller lists already in week one. Washington Post list, USA Today list. I don't have all the lists. With your help, we can drive it up to number one or two next week. I need you over the weekend to go look for Stop the Coming Civil War. I am so proud of this book and so happy to tell you that it's selling like crazy. It might be back in the stores. Please look for Stop the Coming Civil War. On that wonderful note, I say have a great weekend and God bless America.
Savage.